Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4, it is The Blitz. Mitch Widmeyer right here with you. Going to the phone lines, our guest today, Gary Dolphin, voice of the Hawkeyes. Of course, Iowa in town playing Minnesota, the Golden Gophers tonight. You can catch the game right here on Kate. Gary, as always, the time's appreciated. And for the Hawkeyes, Peter Jock aside, it's been somewhat of a youth movement for Fran McCaffrey's team this year, and they've been starting to gel, winners of three straight. They've put up 80-plus in all three of those contests, and things are kind of on an uptick for the Hawks right now, right?
They are, Mitch, and all the things you just mentioned have been fairly consistent throughout the season, despite starting four first-year players. But what's really improved is the defense, and they're taking much better care of the basketball. When these young guys were trying to feel their way along, they were turning it over with regularity, the first 10, 12 games of the season. But now, since about 2-3 weeks ago, they've really taken much better care of the basketball. I remember the blowout loss at Northwestern where they were throwing it all over the gym. Every time they'd get close, they'd pitch it into the seats, and Northwestern would go off on a 10-0 run. But since, a couple games after that now, and certainly during this three-game win streak, they've done a much better job of taking care of the ball. I think a lot of it has to do with Jordan Bohannon's play. I mean, he, Coach McCaffrey says, yes, he is a point guard, but coming out of high school, he was known more for his shooting, and he led the state, 25 points a game his senior year. But he has really developed into a floor leader now, especially with Peter Jock out of the lineup for a couple games. He came back on Sunday and played well. He had 12 points and 5 rebounds. And so, Pete, it's going to take Pete a couple games to, get his entire rhythm back. But Jordan Bohannon has led the way, and I think that can be tied directly to Iowa's improvement.
Because of the nature of the roster, and it is so young, and they lost a handful of seniors from last year, do you have any idea, Gary, if this was viewed initially as somewhat of a reboot year, with what the internal expectations may have been in the locker room because of the nature of the young roster?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, Coach McCaffrey would never admit that. He obviously knew with three true freshmen and one redshirt freshman in the lineup, they were going to have their ups and downs, and I'm sure we haven't seen the last of the downs. Right now they're playing their best basketball, and obviously tonight playing in, arguably one of the tough venues in all of college basketball, the old barn, Williams Arena. It'll be loud and noisy, and Minnesota's coming off a big win at Illinois on Saturday. So I'm anxious to see how the team handles this. They got their first true road win last week at Rutgers and really look sharp doing it. And, when you're shooting the basketball as well as the Hawkeyes have been, Mitch, that cures a lot of ills. That blocks a lot of crowd noise out. But this will be a real hostile environment. Rutgers was far from it. Tonight will be a different story. And, should they pick this one off, win or lose, they have to go to the Breslin Center on Saturday. As you know, Michigan State might be the most noisy gym, certainly in the Big Ten. They love their basketball there. Why not, with what Tom Izzo has done over the years? So the way the calendar lays out, this is a tough week for Iowa basketball because of the youth movement, as you say. That said, I'm really looking forward. I mean, I love Big Ten road arenas. They're just all great atmospheres. And I'm anxious to see how this young team responds tonight and Saturday.
Gary Dolphin, voice of the Hawkeyes, our guest today on The Blitz. I was peeking ahead a little bit to Iowa's schedule, and the rest of the way is anything but a cakewalk. Do you see a route, Gary, that could end up with the Hawkeyes in the dance, or is that maybe at least right now not in the forecast because they sit at 14-10, but they're 6-5 in the Big Ten? There's only five teams, including Iowa, that are over 500 in conference, and like we were talking about, they're kind of clicking and seem to be figuring things out at the right time, and Peter Jock's coming back as well.
Yeah, you never say never, and if the committee, like it says it does, takes injuries into being, then and look at the great players that they would like to put in the tournament, Peter Jock is certainly right there. He's still, despite missing two and a half games, he's still the Big Ten's leading scorer, at around 21 points a game, 18.5 in Big Ten play. So he's still a marquee draw. But they're taking a peek down the road. You got to figure they need five more wins. Their RPI, they have some critical losses early in the season that really sunk their RPI to about the 145 mark. Now they've climbed back up there, obviously, But it's going to be a bunch of bowling pins here in the last 3 weeks of the season, Mitch. I don't think they're worried. I can tell you they're not worried about the NCAA tournament right now. I think, you know, realistically, and who knows what could happen. I mean, nobody thought Illinois would go into Northwestern last night and knock off the Wildcats. Nobody saw Michigan beating Michigan State by 30 last night. So there's a lot to be determined. But I think realistically for this team, if they can get four or five more wins, and, you know, they still have to go to Maryland, they have to go to Wisconsin, then that would put them for sure in the NIT. And with this young roster, you know, we talked about the four freshmen. I think eight of the first 10 are either redshirt sophomores or younger. And so the future is really bright for Iowa basketball. He's got McCaffrey's got two big guys at 6'10", 6'11", coming in next year, along with his son. So, the shelves are going to be pretty full with young players for the long term. But if this team could make the NIT, and as you know, the NIT is a lot better structure than it used to be, with better teams, because it is owned by the NCAA, then I think that's a bigger step forward than anybody saw coming.
Gary Dolphin, our guest today. So we brought up Peter Jock, and you've talked about the increased play from Bohannon. And you know, being a Waller graduate, I have to ask about the Waller kid. How's Cordell Pemsel looking so far? Is he contributing maybe more than what was expected from him this year?
No question. He might be the bright spot among many bright spots for these first-year players. You know, everybody thought Tyler Cook, and he will. He will be a great player. He's a freak physically. But he missed seven games with that broken finger on his shooting hand. And so that has set Tyler back. But he's starting to come around now. Jordan Bohannon, we've talked about him. Well, Cordell Pemsel, as you know, had plenty of surgical repair done to his bad knee in his high school career, and that certainly hampered him, and then had corrective surgery done when his high school career was over. And yet here he is as a pure freshman, one of the very best field goal percentage shooters in the country, let alone the Big Ten. He just camps out around that basket. He's got such a big body at 250 pounds and, you know, 6'8". He's so muscular. But it's one thing to have that body. It's quite another, Mitch, to use it and use it in the right way. And he is so skilled when he gets the ball, when he catches the ball either side of the lane or baseline, at twisting and turning and pivoting and spinning and pirouetting and whatever you want to call it. He's got great body control. And then he's left-handed. That presents another defensive problem for an opponent. When not only do you have a young kid that you don't really know a whole lot about yet, and he's got these kinds of moves, very fluid in around the basket, he uses the glass well, he's got a nice step-back jump shot. But when he can use his body better than most big men when they're seniors, that really presents some issues for an opposing defender. So Cordell, he's putting up almost 10 points, 5 rebounds a game. That's way beyond what they expected to get out of him his freshman year.
One other name I wanted to touch base on, Gary, someone who I thought stepped up big time during Peter Jock's absence, and you saw it front and center, Brady Ellingson. He seems to really be getting comfortable and kind of settling into his own role.
Yeah, he really is. I appreciate you bringing Brady up. He's such a quiet kid. And up until recently, he had 27 in a non-conference game or 23. I remember it was a career high. And he's had a couple of double-figure Big Ten games, but he's just been very inconsistent. What he's been consistent at, though, is when he is in there, and again, he's being asked to play some point guard as well, is his ball handling and his passing. In the last, four games, he's got 18 assists, no turnovers. So not only can he shoot the basketball, but he's a very good distributor, and I think we probably should have mentioned that right out of the gate when we were talking about Jordan Bohannon. The combination of he and Isaiah Moss and Brady Ellingson, this Iowa basketball team has, off the charts. They've got, I think it's, I looked at it last night, the number's 48 assists out of the last 57 baskets made. Now, when you have a team that's sharing the basketball like that, they're coming at you from a lot of angles. You're going to beat some people that perhaps you shouldn't beat. And Brady's been terrific. We had him as our player of the game the other day. But not only, I think he's figured it out. He's, it's taken him a couple of years to settle into his college career, Mitch, that he's a catch-and-shoot guy, and he's so unselfish. When he would catch the ball, he'd look for an open teammate before he'd turn and fire. Well, now he's just catching and shooting, and all great jump shooters do that. but the ball's gone before the defender can react, and he's getting so much better at that, and that's why his play's improved. But, you know, his overall floor game has been terrific.
Gary Dolphin with us on the Blitz. Minnesota, Iowa tonight in the barn. Only regular season matchup between the two teams. And I saw, Gary, Iowa only sees Minnesota once, Michigan State once, and Wisconsin once, and they're all on the road for the Hawkeyes. And it, I guess my one gripe with the schedule is it just doesn't seem right that Iowa doesn't see Minnesota and Wisconsin twice a year. Just it doesn't feel right.
It isn't right. I agree with you. But in this day of, 18 games Now, we know what the imbalanced schedule in football with nine conference games is going to mean now, because the day will come when Minnesota will roll off Iowa. Well, I guess not Minnesota-Iowa, because of Floyd of Rosedale. You get to protect one great rivalry, and that's the one, and rightfully so, that they have. But in basketball, it's a little bit different, where you have this oddity. Like last year, they only played Wisconsin and Minnesota once. They both came to Iowa City. And Michigan State only came to Iowa City. Well, it's returned the favor this year, and then next year it'll be, you know, three more teams where they only see them once. So thankfully, the good news is it doesn't come around very often, because I'm with you. Richard has got his team playing at a high level now. When I look at who their Big Ten losses are to, you know, Maryland and Michigan State and Wisconsin, those three games, they could have easily won. I think two of them were. Or all three of them were at the barn, and Michigan State in that opener, they had them down big. Wisconsin, they had a lead, missed some free throws, lost it in overtime. Maryland, they led by nine, I think, in the first half, and lost that game. So when you're losing games like that to those top dogs, you know you got some guys that are playing well. And I really like Richard's team. Nate Mason obviously has been there a couple years, but. Murphy, the kid from Texas, and Akeem Springs, they got a couple transfers. Amir Coffey, I remember when his dad played, Richard, a terrific player, and Amir now is really finding his groove, just much the way that Jordan Bohannon has found his in his first year for the Hawkeyes. So I look for an up-and-down game. I look for a terrific game tonight, and hopefully next year they can play home and home like it should be.
We'll leave on this, keys for the Hawkeyes tonight, and then moving forward as well, as they, you mentioned, at Maryland, at Wisconsin, tonight at Minnesota, they're kind of going through the gauntlet. What will be the keys for the Hawkeyes to kind of survive that stretch?
Well, there's a bunch of keys, but I'll give you the two most in my mind. That is, continue to take care of the basketball. When you turn it over on the road, leads to run-out layups. That gets the crowd going big time. And, in the last three games, the Hawkeyes have turned the ball over 34 times. So if you're keeping that turnover number around 10 or just over 10, you can survive. But, boy, when you give up easy baskets on the road, that gets the crowd into it. The other component is they have to rebound better. If there's been one Achilles among several, Mitch, Iowa has not rebounded the ball, at least the way we're used to seeing Iowa rebound the ball down through the years. So they need to rebound the basketball better. They've been getting outboarded by four or five per game, and particularly on the offensive glass. Now, they've gone to a lot of zone. They're playing a lot of 2-3 and a matchup 3-2 zone as these youngsters feel their way along. So that's going to lead to some funny hops coming off the glass against the zone, and you're going to give up some offensive rebounds, but I think they gave up close to 15 offensive rebounds the other day and yet survived. So take care of the basketball, rebounding. Those are the two big keys tonight against the Gophers.
He is Gary Dolphin, voice of the Hawkeyes. Tip time tonight at 8 p.m. And, Gary, I'm in a bit of a conundrum. I grew up listening to you. Now I've been in Minnesota for nearly 2 years, so I've become accustomed to listening to Mike Grimm with Gopher games. Do I split it up tonight, do a half of Mike Grimm and then a half of you on the Hawkeyes call?
I think that's a great diplomatic move. Do 50-50. It's hard not to listen. I mean, it's hard not to want to listen to Mike Grimm, a guy that has been a good friend of mine forever. And on that note, I was just reading this morning about the passing of Ray, the longtime voice of the Gophers. We're going to do a little tribute to Ray on the air tonight. I mean, what a career he had. I speak of Ray Christensen, obviously. I got to know Ray pretty good when he was the voice of the Gophers when I started as Iowa's voice back in 1997. Ray retired about 5 years later, but I knew Ray before I got the Iowa job. I did Northwestern for 6 years and got to know him then back in the early 90s. What a class act. 92 years old, boy, he put a lot into those 92 years. I got an autographed copy of his book that he gave me when he wrote that a few years ago. Just a terrific human being, great person, and we certainly pass along our sympathies to to raise family, who by the way, was born in Elkhorn, Iowa. So there's three Iowa natives. But I would suggest you listen to Grimm and then listen to Dolphin, okay?
Sounds good. Gary, thanks for the time. More next right here on The Blitz.